This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
So let's talk about the eclipse that was last Monday. JJ was on with us here on this show. But during this solar eclipse coverage, we got the chance to visit the W.J. McCallion Planetarium, and that was at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario. And there, guests can learn about astronomy, our universe, and participate in live shows given by students at McMaster University. And Blake Ledger is the planetarium manager. Can't say planetarium today. And the a PhD candidate at McMaster, and he's here to tell us all about this space, and maybe we can get back into some of the eclipse talk. Blake, nice to have you on.
Yeah, hi folks. Thanks so much for having me on the air.
So take us on a virtual tour, if you will, of the planetarium and its features so we can kind of get an idea of what you got going on.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for asking. So here at McMaster University, we have a planetarium in the basement of one of our science buildings on the main McMaster campus. And so folks can find us either by coming through the main doors of the Burke Science Building as one of the major buildings on campus. And we have a few different entrances as well there. You can see an image of Claude, one of our presenters, walking into the space. And so we are accessible in terms of getting into the building. And also we have a lift that can take folks down into the planetarium itself. It's just down a few stairs. And our planetarium, it's in a small dome that's in the basement building. And so the ceiling of the planetarium is kind of curved and parabolic in shape. And that allows us to project images and simulations of the sky and other objects that are out in space above viewers so they can look up and kind of take in the sky above them. We have a very small closed-in space. We only have a capacity of 35 people, which makes for some quite intimate and interactive one-on-one live shows or with small groups as well.
Oh, that's incredible. It's a beautiful space. It's really something. And again, you work with what you have, and I'm sure you know the enjoyment is just tremendous. So let's talk about some of the shows and programming that you offer in there.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for asking. So we have two major types of shows at our planetarium here at McMaster. You can book either private shows, which folks often come in with small groups for birthday parties, or if they're coming in with some family and friends, we sometimes have folks come in and get engaged. There are proposals which happen in our space, nice. Which is always a fun show to give. And then we have lots of school groups come in as well, whether they're high school or elementary school groups in the community, or if they are folks who are on campus taking university courses. So those are our private shows that folks can book, and you can have the entire space for an hour, 35 chairs. And then we also have our public shows, which happen on Wednesday evenings and the third Saturday of every month. And the shows that are offered on there, you can buy tickets just as the general public online through our website. And then so you're having a show with other folks as well in the community. And people come in, and we have a various range of themed shows that are on our public show schedule. And so each Wednesday evening, it's a different show, whereas the private shows are maybe a more structured kind of general structure, or you can book one of the themed shows for the private show as well.
That's tremendous. I love it. Well, and again, there's so many cool kinds of things that you'd have, such as Sounds of Silence, Lost at Sea, those kind of, tell us a little bit more about them.
Yeah, so those are two of our kind of more popular show offerings. So one of them, called Lost at Sea, is given by one of our specific presenters. And folks in that show will learn actually how to navigate with the stars. And so kind of the premise of the show is you're in the planetarium with a group of people, and the presenter is going to help navigate you away from being lost, for example, in a ship in the middle of the ocean. You get thrown in at a random location, and then you kind of get taken around. Whereas the Sounds of Silence show, given by a different one of our presenters, kind of journeys through space and the universe and takes an approach of connecting music and music that we hear in songs and different types of sound here on Earth, and connecting those to space. And so there's a lot of kind of human connection that goes up with the cosmos, and a lot of folks interpret that connection and kind of breathe that connection through music and through sound.
Nice.
And so even from past observations that astronomers have made of things like black holes or other portions out in the universe of these complex, sometimes scary objects, we can often interpret them and receive them as sound. And so that's a really cool show that folks can experience not only the planetarium visually, but they can also experience and connect to it through their hearing as well.
Yeah, sonically. Yeah. It's so interesting. And, you know, when you say the human connection that goes out into the cosmos, that sounds very different from us interpreting, let's say, visual material into sound, right? As an example, you know, we're talking sonifications that are being made more available for blind and low vision enthusiasts of astronomy to be able to get information in an audible way. And that feels very different than what these shows are offering, which is literally sound that is out there or how it's connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool.
And even things like reading the astrological signs and stories in the sky that people get to learn about too from you guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And everyone kind of can have their own connection and interpretation with the sky, whether that be through visual, through interpretation of stories, through sonification, as was shared, like lots of different ways to interpret and connect with the sky.
Right. And it's wonderful that there's a bit of a variety of the shows that you offer. So it's not really just about the information, but it is also about the interpretation. What do you think it means for the patrons who show up to the planetarium to have these kinds of services available? And I'm thinking, you know, kids and adults and people who are just interested in astronomy or have no idea about it and they got, you know, invited by somebody, but also people who are more informed themselves and are potentially, you know, much more knowledgeable than the average person.
Yeah, definitely. So the fact that we have a broad kind of spectra of shows that we offer, and also a lot of presenters who give the show. So we have a team of 22 presenters who give shows, and they're all astronomy graduate students here at McMaster, from master's students to PhD students, from inexperienced presenters just starting off to folks who've given almost 100 shows. And so every experience at the planetarium is unique, from both the interaction you have with the presenter to also the show content itself and the folks who come and enjoy the space. So like you said, we have young folks coming in. We have folks as young as 2 or 3 years old who have never seen the sky before in this kind of setting, to folks who know a lot about astronomy and are coming in to learn about the upcoming eclipse, for example, that we had last week, and what kind of things can be seen in that regard. And so the fact that we have a live and interactive show where folks can ask questions directly to the presenter, most of our shows are not pre-recorded. They're all given live and they offer some interactive or kind of question and discussion component. And so that allows each group to have a unique experience. I can say as a presenter, I often give a completely different show, even if it's to the same school group, just a week apart, just because of the interactivity of the space that we have.
Very nice. Can we talk about
it?
Yeah, I was just going to ask about getting people more involved. Like you said, the kinds of things that you offer at the planetarium are very vast, and you have educators and presenters coming in to share experiences or you know, information in this capacity. And I think doing it at a space like this is obviously very fitting. So why is it important? Let's dig a little deeper about engaging the public in STEM. Particularly outer space, but really just thinking about growing STEM in general and people becoming more confident and informed.
Yeah, definitely. So I think astronomy is a great way to kind of connect public and everybody with science. And it's because all of us have a connection in some way with the sky and with the space around us. So whether you're an astronomer looking through telescopes and doing your PhD research using telescope data, or if you're someone who's out for a walk with their dog and you look up at the blue sky, or if it's someone who's out for a walk with their dog and you feel the wind on your face, and that wind is being caused by the atmosphere and the earth around you, all of that is connecting in some way with space and with the cosmos around you. And so all of us, in some sense, are astronomers, whether you're an astronomer by your your everyday life that you like to do outdoors, or if you're an astronomer by education, we all have some connection with the sky. And so I think astronomy is a really key science to connect the public to the idea of science and the scientific method and education in that sense. Science also is, and astronomy is a really good way to connect youth with interesting areas of STEM, because a lot of young folks really enjoy looking at things in space or hearing about things in space or feeling things in space. For example, I know a lot of young folks really enjoyed the eclipse last week because that's like a full body experience. Not only are you able to see it if you have the vision to do so, but you can also feel it when the temperature drops, or you can hear it in the excitement of people around you as they see that eclipse go by. And so you can kind of experience that with your full body. Another awesome part about astronomy outreach is that you can connect with a variety of different communities, and some of those traditionally underserved communities like Indigenous communities, and Indigenous knowledge is often shared through sky stories and cultural significance in that regard. And so the McMaster Planetarium, for example, we also have not only our fixed planetarium on campus, but a portable planetarium, which we're able to take into communities who may not come be able to come to us on campus. And so we have been able to do a lot of reconciliation efforts in that sense as well, collaborating with local Indigenous communities to try to bring astronomical outreach and to connect with them with their astronomical sky knowledge.
Well, I can tell you, Blake, I certainly felt it last week when that temperature dropped and I was in the stadium, and you could feel that and certainly everybody's reaction. I'm curious, being on a university campus, how do the university students participate in the programming and what do they get out of it?
Yeah, great question. So a lot of our programming is given by the astronomy graduate students, but folks around campus often will say it's like a hidden gem at McMaster, where lots of folks don't really know we exist, but when they do know we exist, they're really excited to become involved or to drop by for shows. And so whether they come through to learn about the different shows that we have to offer, or maybe their class comes in to have some sort of component or a show given in the planetarium space. That's the kind of thing that folks on campus have to interact with us at the planetarium. The planetarium is also involved in a few different outreach components that are at McMaster. So some programming that happens for summer camps or things like that, sometimes they'll run through the planetarium as well. We have collaborations with the museum, the greenhouse, Altitude, which is an outdoor facility on campus, which does like rock climbing and things like that for kids. So we have a lot of collaborative people on campus who connect with us, not only to come in for planetarium shows, but to also have students experience other portions of campus as well.
That's wicked. Yeah, because then you got people enjoying and engaging in physical activity and all these other aspects as well that the facilities tend to offer. And I'm curious about, because we talked about, you know, the moment of totality and how it was received, and obviously very engaging with a whole bunch of people there to observe. But how was it preparing for all of this? Did you have any other kind of programs or days where you were encouraging the public to come in and talk about how the everyday person can get involved with the eclipse?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. So the last few months have been quite hectic, to say the least, building into the eclipse last week. But it was all great astronomy outreach initiatives that we were very privileged to be able to hold and be a part of through the planetarium. That's all what the planetarium is all about, is connecting the public with astronomy and with space. And the eclipse is just a perfect event to kind of be excited for and welcome folks in to kind of lead up to that space. And so in the last few months, we've had some eclipse-specific programming in the space. No pun intended, in the space, in the planetarium, for eclipse viewing and for learning about the eclipse itself. And so I had developed a show for the planetarium, and some of the other astronomy students had kind of taken portions of that and spun it in their own way as well. So everybody had a unique show to give. And in the 120 or more shows that we've given so far this year, every show had some component talk about the eclipse. So at least 5 or 10 minutes of each of our shows covered in some sense what the eclipse was going to look like, of course, with a simulation and with perfect weather. So luckily in Hamilton, I think that the skies were relatively clear, at least at the moment of totality. But we were able to describe to folks what an eclipse would look like, what it would feel like, what it would hear like with everybody around you as they're sharing in their excitement. And we were able to do that in a closed-in setting in advance of the eclipse to try to educate folks in advance of what was going on. We were able to have some eclipse lectures on campus to share with folks information about how to view eclipses safely, other ways to interact with the eclipse if you weren't in a location where you were able to see it, things that you could do with your hands or different projects where you could make crafts with home with children and things like that. And so we had a lot of kind of excitement build up. And then in the week before the eclipse, we had 30 shows in 10 days. In the planetarium, most of which were eclipse focused as the excitement built up to April 8th.
Blake, it's been fantastic speaking with you and hearing about all the different cool things that happened at the planetarium and why it's very special to have this facility. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for having me and thanks for your time. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Of course, and we appreciated the collaboration with all of you to get the eclipse going and all the you know, festivities, I guess, around that. We were speaking with Blake Ledger, Planetarium Manager and PhD candidate at McMaster University, talking about some of the programming offered at the W.J. McCallion Planetarium. I can't say any of it. McCallion Planetarium. Anyway.
What an experience last week. It sure was being on campus with everyone. So as you said, Rum, and I give a big thanks. We'll have more to content from that visit down there. That will be absolutely fascinating.
Join me every couple weeks for the Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther podcast, where we learn about outdoor tech and tips. Plus, we look at news affecting the environment. AMI's Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther is available from your favorite podcast provider.